It's time for the most insightful wrestling show today.
Our backs are to the walls, ladies and gentlemen, and we have run out of places to hide.
Wrestling Weekly is on the air.
Glory, glory, hallelujah.
We got a great show for you. Right, it's great.
Hi, gang, this is Fiend Gene Okerlund.
Hey, this is Kevin Nash. You're listening to Doc Young.
I've never heard of a bigger baby in my life
than the legendary Les Thatcher.
I'm now Les Thatcher.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly.
Thank you.
Please join us in the chat room at WrestlingWeekly.com to submit questions for tonight's guests.
That's pretty damn cool.
That is cool.
And now, your host for Wrestling Weekly, Doc Young and legendary Les Thatcher.
Les Thatcher with you here on Wrestling Weekly, guys. Welcome. It's the September 25th show. And, well, it's been quite a week, Les.
It's September 25th.
It is.
And the temperature's here like it's July the 25th.
It's hot.
It sure is. It sure is. And the Farmer's Almanac says that, it's, that 08 will be even warmer.
That's not. Do you think it's El Nino, global warming? What do you think, Les?
I don't know. I'm you know what? I don't. I don't really want to know. I just want to know why it's so damn hot, and we're 13 inches behind it, and yearly rainfall, and my yard looks like a hayfield with a crew cut. anyway, that's,
but you're getting storms over there right now.
Well, we're supposed to. Yeah. It's been thundering some, so yeah. There is a possibility you may lose me if the electricity goes down, but. Anyway,
if we lose Les, we'll take the first phone call, and they will guest host tonight. No,
I have been lost before, right? Last week, I had to jump out early.
Yes.
Due to a technical glitch.
This was Sam's fault.
I know, that damn Sam.
I told Sam.
He's going to produce our show. He's going to have to do a better job.
That's right. I told Sam, house phone, not cell phone, because I knew we were going to get cut off, especially when he said he was going to be on the road.
Yeah.
No, but it was a good interview with Sam. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It was really.
Nice,
it seemed like it went really quick. I had so many more questions about, like, what had went on
behind
the scenes.
Well, we can have him back again.
We should do that sometime.
I mean, you're the producer.
Yes, I am.
This is all up to you, boy.
I am. Yeah. Big news, though, this week, Les. Huge news.
I know. Dancing with the Stars started last night.
No, Les.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I'm into legitimate entertainment.
But this is actually a big story. Federal drug officials say that they've arrested 124 people and busted 56 labs in the largest illegal steroid investigation in U.S. history last week.
Yeah. You know, I'm trying to think what show. I know. It's Outside the Lines on Sunday. Had something about the China connection with HGH.
Yes, I guess what was happening was these ingredients were being imported from China, and they were being used here to make anabolic steroids, and they were very cooperative in the investigation.
Yeah, I heard some of it was in some dingy basements. You know, I talked to back in the 80s. I talked to a DEA agent. I was at a bodybuilding seminar by a pro and who will remain nameless at this point. Mm-hmm. And these DEA agents at a gym, and these DEA agents came to the to question him about he had paid to by check. Anyway, and I got to talk to these guys. They were very nice, and while they were waiting for him to finish his seminar, and the one guy was saying, you know, one of the biggest problems that he found, you know, was that the black market stuff. Could be dirty, you know, and could create infections and
absolutely.
Health problems and everything else, and you know, because it's not made in sterile laboratories and so forth and so on. So
right.
That's, you know, that's part of the deal. But yeah, so and there's of course there'll be names popping up here at some point in time. I'm
sure. Yeah, you're going to hear a lot of names. But authorities, I guess, made arrests in 27 states, including Boston, Los Angeles, California, New York City, San Diego, Providence, Rhode Island, and even Kansas City.
Well, you know, everyone associates this whole thing with sports. But like I said a couple weeks ago, or was it last week? When we first, yeah, we just went back
this
on the air
last week. Yes.
Yeah, you know, about the in my local paper here, where there's this clinic that shows a 67-year-old doctor with a great physique, right, and says they're probably, I won't even get into the name thing because you know we want to sue somebody or something. But anyway. You know, if you join our plan, you know, increase your sex drive, you know, anti-aging, more energy, less body fat, lean muscle mass, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. Well, it's got to have something to do with testosterone replacement therapy, human growth hormone, something, you know. I mean, it has to be. So it's not just athletes trying to get an edge, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't know if this is happening currently or not. But I know at one point a few years ago that you could, like, fly to Mexico, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say I'm going to use Cancun. I'm not sure if that's right either. But and enroll at this clinic, and, of course, it cost, I mean, obviously the cost, I'm sure, is pretty prohibitive for we normal people. But anyway, once you have been examined and this and that, this is, so, I mean, the examination is legitimate opposed to, like, these online pharmacies and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But then once you came back to the States, they could ship you like so many vials or so many tablets or whatever the form was that constituted personal use, right? And if it were one vial over that or one tablet over that, then it would be considered, you know, black market or
right.
or smuggling or I don't know exactly what terminology would be. So, I mean, you know, again, we're not just talking about wrestlers or bodybuilders or baseball players or football players. We're just talking about the general public to a great degree, you know. And so, yeah, it's a huge industry, I mean, in terms of dollars and cents. But, you know, the biggest thing, you know, to come out of this, I hope, is, you know, is healthier athletes and guys, to, you know, to live a longer, healthier life.
Definitely. Absolutely. Monty Brown. You know
yes.
him less.
Or Marcus Corvon.
Marcus
or what
Corvon.
Other, yeah, whoever came up with that name should be drug tested.
that was one of them writers. He was released on Wednesday by WWE.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, as I understand, his sister passed away.
I believe.
And he's taking care of her children.
Yes. The story is that her sister passed away and he is raising her children. I don't know why no one else can or what the situation is, but I guess the situation is that he is raising her children. And this is why he hasn't been on TV for a long time. And WWE said, look, you know, it's
well,
great.
Well, he can't travel because of the children
right.
and so forth. And he has, from what I understand, or will rebuild again, a very lucrative personal training business for
yeah.
himself. So, you know... yeah, I was wondering about it because he never really got a sh- – I mean, he wasn't utilized. They didn't get a big push, wasn't utilized that well.
No.
And
he was just
so,
kind of there.
Yeah,
he wasn't.
I think the deal is, you know, with his nieces and nephews – or I mean, I'm not sure boys or girls, but anyway, his sister's children, he's raising them. So
mm-hmm.
he may be out of wrestling for good.
He may be. Or
and, you know, that was – I mean, the time we had him on the show, he obviously had studied the industry. He – speaking of which, I heard a funny story. It was entertaining to me. I don't know who the guys were. I'd like to find out. Steve Williams took his book and copies of his book and gave it to the developmental crew at NOVW. And when he went back, he tested them, and like 6 out of 30 passed the test, right?
Mm-hmm.
Meaning that they had read the book. So he said, well, okay, so you don't respect where I've been or what I've done enough or respect me enough to have read my book. And I guess he put them through a torturous training session. And you know what? I say good. I say great. I say mag-brigging-deficient. That's when I came into this industry at age 19, when I say history, I knew the people had been there before me, the people that opened the doors, and I think he made on a talk show, he was doing an interview, I guess it's been a few days ago, said that the kids don't understand the territories where we had a chance to learn, and they don't, and due to that, they don't really respect the business.
Right.
You know, he was a story he was telling about riding with somebody to a shot that was a 5-hour drive, and he made $40, which was the trance he had to pay the guy, and the guy stayed in a hotel, and he slept in the guy's car. You know,
right.
Because the money his payoff, because he wasn't a top guy at the time, was what it took for his gas, to help pay for the gas. But, I don't think somebody has to be horsewhipped or chained to the back of a truck and drug across the asphalt highway. But I think it's. You know, part of wanting to be part of this business, part of wanting to having a passion is understanding it, and giving it respect,
mm-hmm.
And then, of course, when you see the CEO of a certain company wins a match, then what, or your mother comes out, your father actually gets invited to a match by the general manager, and then some kids sitting out are saying, well, anybody can be a wrestler.
Yes.
No, anybody can lace up a pair of boots. There was an old, I'm trying, what was, the, an old lady used to say,
I'm horrible with old things.
No, she was saying, just because your car is in the garage, don't make it a Cadillac, and just because you're in church, don't make you a Christian.
Right.
And just because you laced up a pair of wrestling boots, don't make you a wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
But I flip back and forth. I'm serious. I watch Dancing with the Stars. I watched the Titans and the Saints last night. I switched to Raw a little bit. I'm willing to admit it's entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Any resemblance between living or dead between that and professional wrestling is pretty much gone. If that's your gig, then I'm cool with that.
Right.
It's just like we all don't watch the same movies, the same television shows. But the whole ending of the thing with they just happened to conveniently have a table out there, and then Mr. McMahon, who actually was Mr. Hornswoggle, there's no logic to any of this. So it's obviously just shtick and entertainment. So.
Right. It's like what I went back to last week when I was talking to the wrestling fan who said, it's wrestling. It's supposed to be goofy. That was just sad.
Well, and then go back to the Teddy Long heart attack, supposedly due to Viagra.
That's okay. A reconstituted storyline.
It's not that to me, this is my personal. It's about personal preference. And it's not mine. When I say that, I don't hate anybody. I'm not, but comedy to me is Dennis Miller, Whoopi Goldberg, Robin Williams. Those are comedians.
Mm-hmm.
I outgrew the Three Stooges a long time ago.
Right.
Now, to say that they were artists at their craft, they certainly were. But I outgrew that particular type of, I didn't run out and buy the, what's the new DVD, Pregnant or Knocked Up, the new DVD,
Knocked Up.
Things like Porky's, Part 6, 7, and 8. One time of a horny kid is enough for me. seriously, it's cheap pops.
Les, I was going to bring that movie Superbad over so we could watch it together.
Yeah, okay.
No?
No. And you know what? If Jackass is the only thing on television, I wouldn't own a television.
Right.
When I say that, it's, again, somebody likes that stuff, but it's not, and this is not because I'm some sophisticated human being, because I'm not. It's just not my cup of tea.
Right.
And Hornswoggle chasing Melena actually dating Hornswoggle. Well, I want to date her then.
Right.
Hell,
I've got a shot now.
We all have. Anybody's got a shot, you know. But I mean, you know, and then I watched the whole wedding thing and the whole train, and it's just like, okay, whatever.
Wow.
What I will say, and those of you who think I knock TNA, I think Karen Angle's character is entertaining for the reason it's believable. She is not over the top.
Right.
She's a conniving, scheming woman behind her man who doesn't want to be, you know. And Kurt, one of the reasons I think Kurt was never the top dog in WWE because they gave him the simpleton personality, which he plays well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he plays that well, too, but I don't think it's – my champion is not going to be that person. I mean, that's if I'm promoting, right?
Right.
Tomko is even more strong in terms of character for me, and I'll tell you why. Because he looks out of the corner of his eye and says, are you effing ribbing me? Right? Because he makes acceptable for Christian and AJ to make idiots of themselves.
Right.
Because he looks at you at the screen and thinking, I'm with you. These guys, you know, he neutralizes some of their being over the top. And I think, honestly, his characterization of that mirrors what a lot of the viewers see,
mm-hmm.
is they know it's shtick, right? Mm-hmm. And he's thinking, when are we going to get to the wrestling here?
All right.
So I'm high on Tomko for that very reason too. I mean, he dilutes when they get too far out, you know. It's like I say, I watched last night and Vince won the cage match, and okay, and Hornswoggle pulled a towel off of Melina, and and Hornswoggle made a match between Coach and poor John, and I love John to death, but when he took the stance with the belt like he was going to fight all these guys, I thought it was funny. I laughed. That
I
was funny.
Realized.
The funniest thing I saw all night. I thought, why are you standing like that?
Square up.
Please, why are you standing like that? Are you constipated, or are you trying to prevent from passing gas? I mean, you know, no, it was so over the top. It was funny.
Right.
And it wasn't meant to be. And to me, sometimes those are the funniest things, the ones that aren't, you know.
Right.
These guys who are all trying to be comedians aren't.
But if you have an entire roster full of Steve Blackman type personalities, I mean, isn't that boring though?
Well, you know what? Now here's the funny thing: if you knew Steve Blackman, you wouldn't say that because Steve Blackman has a tremendously dry sense of humor. Steve spent time here with me when I had the developmental contract, and I got to know Steve is a funny guy.
Right. I mean, TV wise, character wise.
Well, but see, that's you know. I'm going back. Would you call Ricky Steamboat Steve Blackman?
No.
Would you call Harley Race Steve Blackman? Would you call Terry Funk Steve? Would you call Ric Flair Steve Blackman? Would you call Dusty Rhodes Steve Blackman? Would you call Arn Anderson Steve Blackman? Would you call Ole Anderson Steve Blackman? Do you want me to continue? I can go for 2 hours here. And these guys all had personalities, and JR was right in his blog.
Mm-hmm.
The 80s guys could eat the current roster alive. And without breaking a sweat. And I'm not talking about a shoot here. I'm talking about actually knowing how to go out and portray a professional wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
The roster's weak, and I know that. So they're trying to fill holes without anybody to fill the holes. Morella, if he's a stud, I'm Jesus Christ.
Right.
Come on. You know. It's not even that. That whole particular thing is not even entertaining to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we just, hey, we're paying this guy. Let's get him to do something. Okay, what can he do? Not much in the way of what we need, but let's put him out there anyway. Okay, what the hell? Nobody's going to. The fans are all idiots, and everybody watching this is stupid, so they're not going to know anyway. Yeah, right. Okay, cool.
I don't know if Morella can actually wrestle because I haven't seen
him
do it.
I saw him. He is not a great worker. Now, I understand he's done MMA legitimately, okay? But mm-hmm. that doesn't, but that's not to say Tito Ortiz can come in and be a worker, right?
Right.
Peyton Manning, because he played football, doesn't mean he can be a wrestler. And, I can't go be a quarterback in the NFL. But, I mean, that's... But Morella, you know, it's just there's no substance to the character.
Right.
There is none. Zilch, zero. Zip.
It's not even the kind of where you love to boom type of thing. It's just
why do you think I keep switching back to football and thank God for Dancing with the Stars?
Right.
Which is entertaining because it's people who aren't dancers, and you watch them evolve. And you see, but all these people are competitive, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like last night, I can't think of her name. She's a supermodel. She was the worst dancer on the plane. Jane Seymour, who is in her 50s, was very elegant and good. The Cheetah Girl probably was the best entertainment-wise. Scary Spice was pretty good. But anyway, it's and football. to me, the NFL is on top for while we're talking here about everything but wrestling, because I think the NFL is so red hot and has been for years because it's not, and our business would fall under this category too. It's not forced down your throat 24/7.
Right.
I love professional basketball, and I'm a big baseball fan. I played both sports. But baseball season is too long. Pro basketball is too long. And we're 12 months out of the year. But, football, it's just long enough to keep you hooked, and then when it's gone, it's left you with a taste
for
wanting it to come back.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You've got your, 3 or 4 weeks of warm-ups, then you got a 16-week season, the playoffs, and you're out of there. At Super Bowl, and you're gone.
And every game's very important because there ain't that many of them.
But, when July or late June, and I see the NBA still having their playoffs in hockey, which I don't watch at all, I'm thinking, what's this about?
Right.
Why are it 98 degrees out there and basketball season's still going on and the guys are playing ice hockey? But anyway, I think that's why football is so red hot, because they don't expose it.
Right.
I think that's a big deal. But I've come to the point that my wrestling is gone. And with the exception of the odd match here or there, and that saddens me. And I don't know if there will be any true artists after Michaels and Flair and Helmsley is an artist too. Guys like that hanging up.
We can only hope.
Well, you know what? If somebody they've got to teach them that instead of teach them how to be clowns.
Right.
You can't, and believe me, when I say this, I preach it, and they'll say, he's old school, he's mad because he's not as handsome as I am, or mad because he can't do a quadruple somersault into a wet sponge. No, none of the above.
Right.
The art of wrestling, the ring psychology, the actual controlling a crowd, calling a match on the fly is an art, and it is much harder to learn that than it is to do a moonsault and get a cheap pop.
Right.
Or hit somebody with a chair, or whatever, So, anyway,
guys, we got former WWE superstar Rob Conway is going to be with us tonight. So we're very happy about that. Rob, of course, just released from WWE not too long ago.
And he actually was taught the right way. We're going to talk to him about that.
Yes,
I've known Rob since he started in the business.
He's an Ohio Valley grad, if you
yes,
want to say.
Yes, he is. He was one of Danny's first students.
So,
one of Dan Davis' first trainees.
So we got a lot to talk to him about tonight, and it's going to be interesting. Kevin Kelly is scheduled to join us for Hot Topic. If we can find him. We're going to try to get a hold of him in about 10 minutes here. But moving on with the news, PW Insider is reporting that, I guess, guys, you must have noticed that Randy Orton was not at Raw last night. But PW Insider is reporting that it wasn't a suspension or a sickness or anything like that, that Randy actually got married to his fiance this past Friday, and this is why he missed Raw.
I'm going to ask you a question here.
What?
Who else would he have married if not his fiance?
Some random. I don't even want to think about it.
I had to throw that in there. I'm sorry.
But Randy, yes, congratulations to Randy. Married on Friday. Do you hear that, Les?
Huh?
Do you hear that?
Do I hear what?
That is the sound of many young female hearts breaking in unison.
Oh, okay. I thought actually there was a noise. I didn't hear that. I didn't hear the hearts breaking either, Doc.
There's
a speculation out there. I didn't, since I was just floating back and forth on the screen last night and didn't watch the entire Raw show, there's speculation now that they're teasing that Jericho's coming back. Is that the deal?
I know that they've been talking with Jericho, and of course TNA's been talking with him also. I know high numbers are being thrown around, but I don't know anything past that. It might be a tease.
Yeah.
Might not. I don't know.
Who knows?
We're going to have to see. Also, this last week, World Wrestling Entertainment sent some letters out to formerly contracted wrestlers offering to pay for drug and or alcohol treatment. And it's sparked a lot of controversy lately, especially with former superstar Chris Kanyon. He was interviewed recently for New York City's newspaper called Newsday. And Kanyon reported in his MySpace that he felt some of the quotes used from him made him look kind of one-sided on his opinions. He went on to explain in his MySpace posting that he believes that McMahon's motives for sending the letters are not for pure humanitarian reasons, like the WWE lawyer Jerry McDevitt said, but, of course, because the congressional hearings are looming. But whatever the reason, it's a good thing. And Kanyon feels that needy wrestlers should take advantage of this.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, there's another old saying, don't look a gift horse in the mouth.
Exactly.
And if somebody is having problems with alcohol or painkillers or something and he's willing to flip the bill, I'm happy for those guys.
Right.
I really am. That's, and, you know, again, whether he's doing it for good publicity, whether he's doing it to be a humanitarian, or whether he... You know, but again, it's time they have to start, you know, keeping the wolf from the door, too.
Right.
I mean, they, you know, I don't give a damn if you're AT&T or WWE. You can only absorb so much adverse publicity before it starts to actually affect your company.
Absolutely. The interesting thing about the whole Kanyon posting is that Kanyon said that he did not receive one of these letters himself.
Uh-huh.
So I thought that was odd. But you could see his whole posting. It's,
I could make a snide remark here, but I like Chris, and I won't. So.
You could see his
posting. Yeah, there's no rehab for what is.
That, Les.
Well, I told you I like Dennis Young and Robin Williams and Whoopi Goldberg, okay?
You can see his posting at myspace.com/ChrisKanyon. Did you happen to catch Les Survivor last week?
No, you know what? I have never watched Survivor. I don't ask me why. I just never have.
I found it boring because, like, I don't even like to go camping. So why am I going to watch, like...
Rumor is that she's out quick.
Yeah, this is what I hear.
Yeah, I don't know. How did she do, though? I mean, I know that it's hard, probably hard to tell on the first. Was she productive or she come across the dits or what?
I didn't watch it.
Oh, you did watch it.
No, my whole story on this is the ratings. Huge for Survivor.
Well, but Survivor has always had huge ratings. Ashley did not. You know, I read that on a couple sites, and I thought, why? You know, that's so misleading. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying she had nothing at all to do with...
Right.
You know, the ratings, but Survivor, why do you think it's been on for so many years, Doc?
Right.
Because it doesn't pull numbers.
Did the article that you read say that because of Ashley, this rating was...
Well, it didn't quite just come out and say that, but it was, it led me to believe that was what it was,
like,
you know, what it, yeah.
Right. The huge part is of my own opinion. The overnight rating was 8.9.
Uh-huh.
With a 15 share. CBS, of course, came in first. Every time Survivor comes on, they come in first, though.
Like, I mean, you know, what I'm saying is, it's like if you or I go on an American Idol and then somebody says, hey, Doc Young was on American Idol, American Idol draws big numbers in.
Right. They showed his face, like, behind one of the singers. And
you know, I honestly doubt Sirius. You know, now, I would say a certain demographic, certain, you know, wrestling fans... may have watched it, you know, that wouldn't normally.
Curiosity, see her in some regular clothes.
Sure, sure. Well, it's like, I probably wouldn't have watched Fat March if it hadn't been for Sammy and Maddie.
Right.
You know, I've never watched The Biggest Loser. It's just, I don't, for no particular reason, it just didn't perk my interest. But, mm-hmm. Yeah, I you know, again, Survivor's been a strong show.
Yeah. PW Insider is reporting that in addition to the nasty fall he suffered last Sunday that knocked him out, Judas Mathias is said to be suffering from sciatica, which is, of course, nerve.
Yeah, I know exactly what it is. Right. My mother had the problem, and I had it for a period of time. It's like it can be hell.
It's really nasty.
My mother let it go for too long, when I say cure, I don't know necessarily it can be cured, but it can be, it can be taken care of. I had a chiropractor who worked on me, and along with some other things that I did, and relieved it. It's kind of like a pinched nerve or something.
Yeah, stuff like that, and it just kind of pops up everywhere. But he is said to, of course, need many weeks of rest, and of course, physical therapy afterwards to recover. Don't know how this is going to change plans for Bound for Glory. TNA did have him scheduled to be wrestling in that match at Bound for Glory. So we're just going to have to see how that pans out. But also TNA, they have a new street team. Do you hear about the street team, Les?
Do I hear about? I know what you know. A lot of the indie groups have street teams, volunteers. Yes.
Now TNA they've gone indie on us, and they've had the street team, and they actually went to the SmackDown ECW taping last Tuesday in Atlanta, and we're passing out flyers.
I had heard that.
That's.
I don't know that I would have gone that route.
What would happen
now when HWA was alive and well? We would go down to First Star. Mm-hmm. We had some people that pass out flyers for our shows, but then we were also associated with the company or had a good working relationship with the company. OVW ran, I think it was. The last night at Louisville Gardens, there was another promotion, one of your favorites, who almost got their ashes hauled, that were out front passing out flyers, and Sylvester Turkey and Lesnar were asked to go out front and put a stop to that, and one of your fat friends, if he had been out there when they got out there, he would have been a grease spot on the sidewalk. So, no, that's bad business. I don't like that at all.
To go to other shows and put out flyers?
No. I'll tell you the truth. I had a indie promoter call me. It was livid over. And a guy who thought he was doing us a favor, he worked for me, and I didn't know what was happening. Had gone to the parking lot of these people's show and flyered the cars in at their show.
Right.
And when I found out about it, I called the guy in my office. I said, never again. I told the other promoter, I said, look, I had no knowledge of this, and if I find out who did it or how it happened, it won't happen again. That I will guarantee you.
Right.
Well, you're just asking for retaliation. You know? Mm-hmm. You're asking for problems.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Got to get them by yourself.
The National, what was the American Football League, mm-hmm. The AFL, before the merger.
Mm-hmm.
I doubt seriously that they sent people over to the Flyer, the cars, and the NFL matches.
Right.
McDonald's doesn't send anybody over to Wendy's to pay for the cars in the parking lot.
That's a good point, sir.
You know?
Yes. Guys, we are going to take a quick break. We're going to try to get Kevin Kelly on the line for a Hot Topic with us. If he's not... we're going to take some questions from the chat room. Also, though, we do have Rob Conway. He is going to be here tonight. Get your questions ready. Come on into the chat room. If you're not at the chat room at WrestlingWeekly.com, you're in the wrong chat room. Because, Les, there are different chat rooms set up for us, but they're not official chat rooms.
You know what? I couldn't find my way into one with a map.
It's easy. And as I explain it to Les,
the only thing I know about our show is what I'm on it.
As I explain it to Les, I'll explain it to everyone. Go to WrestlingWeekly.com and click on the chat link, and that is the official chat room. So come on into this room, ask your questions for Kevin, for Rob and for us. And we will be back, guys, right after this. You're listening to Wrestling Weekly with Doc Young and Les Thatcher.
We know you hate this part, but Wrestling Weekly will return after this short break.
Why are you doing this to me?
Yo, check out the new hot wrestling shop called Mad Maniacs. With a large inventory of shirts, replica belts, and action figures you can obtain and need for wrestling merchandise. Remember that we get fresh stock weekly, so don't forget to check it out. Also, with items coming in faster than Toys R Us and Walmart, you should never become disappointed. Plus half the price on WWE.com. Remember, that's www.madmaniacs.com.
The irresistible Doc Young.
Booyah!
The legendary Les Thatcher.
Brilliant!
The award-winning show taking the internet by storm. Wrestling Weekly.
Oh, great Odin's Raven!
Every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 1 a.m. GMT. On WrestlingWeekly.com and WrestlingRadioNetwork.com.
What triggers the attention of a pro wrestling fan? Is it the overall ability of the superstar? Is it the angles with a mixture of drama? What drives the fans wanting to learn more about this pastime? When it reaches a boiling point and you know you're hooked on the thrill, it's no longer considered just a passion. It's an obsession.
Your favorite all-in-one online wrestling site has changed. That's right, wrestling fans. If you are obsessed with everything wrestling, check out the same site with the new name, Online World of Wrestling. As crazy as it may sound, the same content you have come to know, expect, and rely on is still there on every single page of the site under a new name. If you're looking for the most comprehensive information on the entire world of wrestling, then head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Online World of Wrestling still supplies you with all the news and information, plus galleries and bios of your favorite all-time wrestlers. Climb aboard as we head on over to onlineworldofwrestling.com. New packaging, same great flavor.
On total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com. Log on right now and get your fix of all things TNA Wrestling. Event photos, streaming video, and all of the backstage gossip is just one click away. Plus, right now, you can find special savings in our merchandise area with a complete line of DVDs featuring Nevermore, the best of Raven, Enigma, the best of Jeff Hardy, and Phenomenal, the best of AJ Styles. Plus, all of our monthly pay-per-view events on DVD as well. And don't forget to check out photos of our lovely ladies in the knockout section. It's your online home for total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com.
Wrestling-radio.com for the latest news in professional wrestling, watching of videos, and promoting your own independent wrestling organization or radio show the way that you want it done. Log on to wrestling-radio.com. Sign up today and get weekly archiving of your shows. Advertise your show on the main website. And also listen to other great wrestling radio shows, such as The Squared Circle, The Minority Report, Evan's Legends, and many more. And you could be the next one. Log on today at wrestling-radio.com and begin promoting your wrestling organization or radio show the way that you want it done. We promise you, you won't be disappointed. Wrestling-radio.com, the internet's leader in wrestling radio promotion.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
While lesser designers would shy away from putting 300-pound men in spandex, you embrace it.
Yes, you do.
Pushing fashion to its limits, literally, you pair tights with a cape, a leotard with a mask, leather boots with a thong.
Oh, looking good.
All understated ways of saying, I'm going to rip your head off and look fabulous doing it. So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Guy. Because without you, a man crushing another man's head in his arms would just look silly.
Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Doc Young, Les Thatcher back here with you at Wrestling Weekly on the line. And on time is our Hot Topic correspondent. He's a former WWE announcer, Kevin Kelly. Kevin, thanks for being with us this week.
It is always wonderful to be back on this wonderful segment of this wonderful program. Oh,
thank
my
you,
God.
Kevin. Your check is in the mail, sir.
Doc, you better send him a blank one. Let him fill in the numbers.
Love it. Everything is lovely in this part of the world. Les, how are things with you?
Well, my Redskins are 2-1, but the hometown Bengals.
Not so much.
They didn't. It depends on which team shows up. You know?
Yeah, that's the same thing with everybody. I love how NFL fans and fans of just about every sport, but especially the NFL, after two or three games, they're ready to hang themselves and fire everyone, and then they'll wind up, 11-5 or 10-6, right there in the thick of things, and everything's just fine. So,
how are things?
Yeah, McNabb talked about the black quarterbacks, and my thought on that is, listen, if you play in Philadelphia, I don't care what color you are, if you don't win, you'll be run over, raked over the coals by the fans. The only place in the world where Santa Claus gets booed, right?
Yeah, I mean Philly is a great colorblind city in that regard because they just want winners. And I live 2 hours from Philly, and it's very enjoyable to see the passion in those fans. And despite the fact that it's a city of losers and that they haven't won anything since 1980, and before that it was 50 years before that.
Poor guys.
Other than that,
you won't be able to walk downtown in Philly anytime soon if anybody hears this.
I'm not going to Pat and Reds. I'm not going to Geno's. I'm not going anywhere near Philly, I guess.
Kevin, have you caught your good friend The Rock's new movie, The Game Plan?
No, I keep waiting for my VIP invitation.
Yeah, you weren't at the premiere, were you?
No, but you know what? Here's a funny story. A friend of mine in the wrestling business for a long time, Casey Thompson, who's he promotes a company down in Florida, MXPW. He has a good friend in the media business who got hired as a stringer, a videographer, to cover The Rock's premiere.
Mm-hmm.
So he called Casey saying, listen, I have to interview The Rock, and I don't know the first thing about wrestling. Can you come out here and do this interview for me? So my good friend Casey Thompson was sending my best regards along to The Rock, and everybody else who he knew, along with asking a bunch of really personal questions about Rocky Johnson, because The Rock's dad finished up his career down in Florida and was kind of a fishy character at times, did some funny things.
Mm-hmm.
So he was gonna stick Dwayne with a couple of questions like, Dwayne, is it true that your father, Rocky Johnson, stole a fishing pole of a 12-year-old son of Mayor Harry Venice, which is a fact, and everybody knows it, just to see the reaction that he would have gotten. So
right.
I don't know if this interview will ever make the light of day, but I'm going to be YouTubing the hell out of it if it does.
That's funny. I just last night, finally caught Gridiron Gang. Not bad.
And?
Not bad. A little formulaic, but not bad.
I hear this new one is supposed to be pretty good. It's getting a lot of press. He's been on a lot of shows.
This might be the tipping point, as they say, for his Hollywood career.
Once you go Disney, it's you're now in the A-list.
You have,
you can also fall into the trap too of being a Disney actor. which you don't want to do. You got to keep that edge. You got to be able to do a little bit of everything.
Right.
Well, how about the little girl? And was a High School Musical?
Yes.
Who had the news on her?
She kept
She's
her edge.
She's a Disney employee.
She yeah, kept her edge.
I don't see her in the mouse ears anymore.
You actually saw her in the nothing, so you can't imagine they have mouse ears any longer.
No, it's just,
or maybe just the mouse ears. Maybe that.
They call the crew of people who come up with the new things at Disney, they call them Imagineers. So I'm sure that the Imagineers are having a very good time with that young lady's apparatuses as they are.
They never imagineered that. Happening.
That's a good imagination that boy got.
That's right. But then again, look what Disney's done for Eddie Murphy. Who was once probably the dirtiest man in America, is now doing Disney films and children's films.
And raking in the dough.
Exactly.
That's really all that matters.
That's right.
It's all about making money.
Here we go.
And isn't it just all about the importance of making money? You know, like a company like TNA.
Yes. Which brings us to our hot topic of the week, sir. Here's a story that came over the wrestling line last week. The Wrestling Observer is reporting this. That TNA is holding talent auditions for wrestlers on October 29th in Orlando at Universal Studios. The cost to get involved is $250, and every participant will be given a chance to show their wrestling skills, in addition to presenting a video and resume to good old Terry Taylor.
This is the
story. They are now charging for auditions.
Something I never did at my school. But I know there were
heard
kids tell me, for a tryout at this school, I had to pay $100.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, if you're coming to me to learn to be a wrestler, why would I expect you to be a wrestler already? I would expect you to know nothing, you know. I wouldn't expect you to get in the ring and be able to do anything, and I never charged anybody to come see to practice or, you know, I if they wanted to sign up, that's when I charged them. But anyway, about this, and I think Kevin and I have worked some camps together. Here's the problem. As I see it, and we're going to get Kevin's side, TNA doesn't have a school. Whether you are good or bad, obviously, I've never met an independent wrestler didn't think he was good. And if there is one, I have yet to see him. But that's subjective, obviously. But if you see someone that comes to this camp and pays their $250, and they have potential, but they're not quite there, what's the next step? Because TNA doesn't have a farm system, a developmental system. Do they tell you we'll come back next year? But where are they going to learn? I know it's going to get a lot of heat with a lot of people, but there's damn few of us out there that can actually teach the art of this business and teach it right.
And that's the thing, you know. Like I was joking, sort of facetiously, who do they make the check out to? You know, do you make it out to TNA? Do you make it out to Jeff Jarrett? But that's the thing. Who's going to be responsible for these guys and girls after they, you know, if they were to impress people? And I mean, they've tried this once before, and they had that TNA gut check, I remember, a couple of years ago, out of which...
I forgot all about that.
They had the one girl that came out of it who, you know, I guess was good in the ring, just didn't have the right look. And so she lasted a few months, and she was here and gone.
Mm-hmm.
So, but again, when you pay money, now they want a tape and photos. So that says to me, Les, right off the bat, that they're looking for people that have experience.
Right.
Now,
right.
If you pay $250 to be evaluated by TNA, you're a mark. And I'm sorry, but if anybody does that, that's Mark Central right there. You know, you send your tape in, and you get evaluated, and you get in the business the right way, you know, by getting recommended by somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody, and by sending your tapes in directly to the office and impressing them, and not by paying money.
Mm-hmm.
There's no job. It's just like all these scam jobs across the Internet that you see. You never pay money to get a job. And if anybody ever sees anything like that, you have to pay this to get a job. Don't take it.
Right.
And it's the same thing here. It's, you know, I've heard of indie promoters where they'll have Dennis Caluso, God rest his soul, used to charge, I don't know, 25, 30 bucks, depending on whatever he wanted or what, you know, because he wanted to go to the diner and have an iced tea with the boys. He'd have four or five kids roll around the ring. They'd throw him 20, 25 bucks each. Okay, great. Listen, we'll give you a call. He'd have 100 and let's go eat, you know?
Right.
Now, while we're on that subject, I forgot to mention, I don't have the particulars yet, but November 9th and 10th, I'm doing a training seminar in North Carolina. And on the 9th, on Friday the 9th, Ricky Stevo is going to be my my guest.
Excellent.
And, but we're running a training camp, which
right.
is exactly what it is. It's not tryouts for anything.
And you don't have to be a superstar already to be there.
No. You in fact, well, you know what? I'll say this. Call it ego, call it what you like. I don't think there's anybody working the indies that if you give me two or three days that I can't show an improvement on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a fact. There is so much that you can learn. You know, like I learned a lot about the business and about being in the ring and positioning from Jim Kettner, the promoter down in Delaware who had a school for many years. And Kettner's one thing that he is great at, out of all the things he's very good at, but the one thing he is excellent on is footwork and positioning. And he has said he can take anybody and fix their footwork in such a way that when they leave his presence, they will be better for it. He always wanted to fix Maven, because Maven, he felt like, had great potential but had terrible footwork.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We always talk about, well, who has good footwork? Well, Christian has the best footwork in the business, he says. And I see, again, through his eyes, I've seen the difference between Christian Cage and other people. He always said that Justin Credible had very good footwork, and Taker's footwork for a big man is incredible.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of that, too, Doc, what we're talking about here is minimum movement for maximum results, too.
Yep.
Right.
Always in the right position and never having to take extra steps.
Right.
And it's a dance.
One of the craziest things in the world is preparing to give a hip lock, and it's a matter of just pivoting on your left, throwing your right hip out, and swinging around in front of a guy. And if you could watch this, Doc, at a practice, you'll see guys who swear to you that they know how to work, and they've got what Hugh Morris used to call happy feet. Bill
right.
Morris call it happy feet.
Just kind of everywhere.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're it's almost like they're dance. They move six times when it's one movement.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
hey, completely off the subject, but it's something that I was talking about with my good friend Bob Evans the other day, who has the Slam Tech Wrestling School up in Rhode Island.
Sure.
I read a front page story on the New York Times two Saturdays ago, and it was about football and concussions, mainly with teenagers, and it focused on a group of high school football players whose lives have been affected, some mildly and some ultimately death, by concussions. And what this article said, neurologically speaking, kids that are 14 to 17 years old are much more susceptible to long-term effects from concussions than adult males. So be mindful of that, high school players. Improved training methods, improved medical supervision can help prevent these post-concussion syndromes. And so many young guy, and what made me think about it in terms of Bob, was a lot of kids come to his camp, 16, 17 years old, and they want to get started. They get their parents' permission, the whole deal. But I made him aware of this article. He looked it up. He read it. And now he's going to adjust his training schedule so that the younger guys aren't in the ring taking as many bumps as some of the older guys.
Right.
Just because they are more susceptible. Not every teenager is, but medical studies show that teenagers are, because their brains aren't as developed and the lining around the brain isn't as developed, they're more susceptible to concussions. So to all you wrestlers out there and all you wrestling trainers out there, please be aware of this and be wary of the symptoms of a post-concussion syndrome. And, you know, headed off the path before it can turn into a major, major issue.
Right. I would like to see these young guys learn by taking less bumps anyway.
Less dangerous bumps. Of all the negatives that are placed out there about WWE, One thing, you know, they have cut back on certain bumps, and they have gone back to what some people want to call old school style, but it's to try to hold down the injury rate.
Right.
And one thing that I always loved, about Les's training, and I do this with my 12-year-old son, is going to a lockup, and then from the lockup, the side headlock, and the side headlock to the top wrist lock, to the hammer lock, and back around again to the headlock, to break, to the collar and elbow tie-up. And it's a conditioning drill, and it's just chain wrestling. No bumps, conditioning. And you get yourself, I mean, I remember seeing Chad Collier and Dr. Tom do this for half an hour, and they were in a huge lather sweat by the time they were finished, because they were exhausted. But they literally did this 20 minutes, half an hour, and Stryker did it with Chad, and other guys were doing, you know, race to others. And it was just, it was so great to see this form of conditioning without one bump being taken.
Yeah.
And at the absolute core basics of catch-can pro wrestling.
Right.
Doc, I'm gonna tell you, and it's hard to describe this, but I have a warm-up drill which gives me a chance to see if a guy's athleticism, his timing, his coordination, and his conditioning. Now, it's called a triple five, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like you arm whip me rope to rope five times, then I reverse and give you five times. Then you shoot me off, drop down, I cross over. As I come back, you leapfrog. That's one. And I do. We do this five times. Then we reverse that reverse positions five times. Then you go to the corners up and over. I follow you in and come under you five times. Then we reverse that and do that five times. This drill, run at a decent speed to where you could do it smoothly with good form, takes less than 2 minutes to run. And I can guarantee you that when I go in places and show this to guys, and okay, this is what we're going to warm up with, I can't tell you how many guys can't complete that drill
guys
without
that
blowing up.
That will tell you, and that you will look at, Doc, and say, oh, he's in shape. And then they start this drill, and you realize that once they get to that second up and over in the corner, that their ass is made of enormous lead. And their legs are tree trunks, and they cannot get up.
Wow.
And they cheat. They go to the bottom rope and spring up and just get up and over. But I remember seeing, like, Jamie Noble doing this drill.
Oh, yeah.
He was always in very good shape. Mm-hmm. And he had some real snap to all of his moves. They were crisp from the beginning to the end.
Alan Funk were like the Energizer Bunny in practices.
They had so much fun doing that drill.
Yeah.
And it was fun watching them do it. And it was always, you know, when you'd see other big guys like Rosie and Jamal, when they would do it, you know, it would be a little bit more of a chore to get through it, but they worked hard to get it done.
Yeah.
And it's amazing what is considered in shape and then wrestling shapes. Two totally different things many times.
Really, yeah. I mean, you see guys who are lean and have abs. And they can't go. They can't sustain any time in the ring.
You need to work the lungs.
Exactly. Well, you know, here's the funny thing. The brain functions. This is a thinking man's business, and your mind has to be working in there all the time. Where have we been? Where are we going? What's our finish? What are we building to? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And your brain functions on one ingredient and one only, and that's called oxygen. And once that's gone, you can't think straight,
right?
And you'll panic.
And once the panic sets in, then you lose everything. And that's why so many times we would see guys come in for their tryouts, and we would just please tell them, just get out there and relax. And they'd be in great shape, and they'd get out there in 30 seconds and be blown sky high. Why? Because they were nervous. Because they were worried about blowing up. Because of whatever the reason was, they would blow up. And that was it. They were done.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. You'll find a lot of guys, Doc, when they first start training, will tend to hold their breath. It's a reflex, a nervous reflex. And, you know, especially if they're doing it in front of people that they've seen wrestle before, or they realize that, you know, there's some dignitaries around or something. And they'll just, yeah, they lose it, man. They just, listen. I'm going to tell you, the funniest thing is timing and pacing. I remember there was an old guy named Johnny Heideman who was about as wide as he was tall. And Johnny Doyle and Mark Lewin pulled this, worked me into this up in Lansing, Michigan. We were going three falls, Johnny and I, and we were going to split the first two, and he was going to put me over in the third, and they said we need about 20, 25 minutes out of this. And I was like 21, 22 years old at the time, and Johnny was probably, at a minimum, 20 years my senior, right? And he didn't look like, you know. So anyway, in the locker room, Mark and Doyle are saying, hey, you know, kid, you're going to have to carry this old guy, you know. And I would have never opened my mouth, even if I thought that, right?
Right.
Well, what I didn't know, Heidemann used to put on old heavy work boots and run up through the woods, up and down hills to condition himself. He didn't look like a bodybuilder, but he had the lungs of a friggin' marathoner, right?
Right.
And I'll never forget, we got into the last three or four minutes of that third fall. And he had pushed, and of course, I was still learning, and I didn't know how to pace myself. So I had burned out. I had run out. The tank had run dry. And I was in a panic because I'm trying, what the hell's the finish?
Right.
I know there's a finish to the third fall. He gave it to me in the locker room. And I mean, I came, but I mean, this guy just blew me sky high.
And lack of oxygen had you confused.
And if you just stood side by side and you said, which one of these guys is in shape? You'd have pointed me because I, you know, at my age, I was slimmer and you know,
right,
and more like a racehorse. And this guy was stocky and wide, but ring conditioning is, as Kevin will tell you, you know, I could, in my prime, I could have taken Carl Lewis in a wrestling ring and blown him up. Now I couldn't run the 440 with him,
right?
But he couldn't go 15 minutes with me in that ring either.
And I coach baseball now. And one of the things that I always stress to the kids, because I coach Little League, one of the things I always stress to the kids is, who is the fastest player in baseball? And they'd say, oh, Jose Reyes. Okay. Who's the fastest guy in track? Michael Johnson. Okay. Who would win in a race 200 yards? Well, Michael Johnson would. All right, but who would win in a race running around the bases? Huh. Then Jose Reyes would run faster because he knows how to do it.
Right.
Rounding the bases, cutting the corner, cutting down the angles, you know, and again, it's the same thing being in the ring with minimizing your footsteps and relaxing and being comfortable in your surroundings. The biggest enemy to conditioning many times is the mind.
Right.
Because once you get nervous and once you lose your, you start to think about your surroundings and like Les said, who's watching me and what's on, what, you know, am I getting a job out of this? You can be in the best shape of all. You can do all of, you know, the triple fives in your sleep and not get blown up. But you get in that ring, man, and your brain triggers an immediate panic reaction. And that panic reaction will rob your body of oxygen. And the arms get tired and that legs get heavy. And the brain goes who knows where. And everything goes out the window from then on.
Yeah. A good example, Doc, is if you remember when Dennis Rodman did the WCW. Now, here was a guy who I think most people will tell you was probably the best conditioned player in the NBA. And yet those guys blew him up in that ring. But I can guarantee you that none of those wrestlers could have gone out and played a full four quarters of basketball.
Yeah, they can't run up and down a basketball court.
Right.
Unless you're confident in knowing what you're doing.
Sure.
Right.
And it's the same thing in wrestling. And I enjoy seeing... you know, I enjoy seeing the old matches now because I listen to the commentary, especially of Gordon Solie, who I always so greatly admired. And he talked about in terms of the match and the psychology of the match being that as the bigger bodies would get the lactic acid built up in the muscles and the arms and the legs begin to tire and get heavy, it was a cover-up. Because a lot of times these guys would get blown up because they weren't in great ring shape. But he always found a way to cover up for things. And that was one great tool, and I never forgot that, you know, as an announcer, that if there's a big guy that's blown up, start to put him over. And the fact is that size, where it looks great and it lends to great strength and power, now as we're starting to get on in the match and that lactic acid builds in these major muscle groups, now it's becoming a detriment. And I always thought that was just a great way of spinning the fact that the big muscle head is blown up, folks.
Right.
Yeah. Gordon always had a subtle way of saying, well, that's like JR with his old pair of bowling shoes, right?
Oh, that's a great line. Uglier. This match is bowling shoe ugly, folks.
Yeah. Kevin, Rhode Island Red had a question about the TNA auditions. He wants to know if you think Coco Beware is going to try out.
No, I don't. But you know, I'm sure Coco appreciates the fact that you mentioned his name here on the show.
I don't know. Somebody said Coco and the bird would have to have separate.
Yeah, that's two checks. You have to write out
two
each.
Checks. One
two
for the bird.
Each. And again, the bird has to have a tape and a resume.
Right. And then they'll just accept the bird and put it on Christy Hemme's shoulder.
Let me say this, Doc. You know, this is not a knock on Terry. I've trained with done training camps with Terry Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
I worked with him in that capacity when he was with WCW. I respect his knowledge and respect. He has an eye for talent.
Right.
But the point is, like I said, is okay. You spot this guy and say, okay, I see potential in him. But you have no way of developing that potential in him, and you can't. And believe me, I know Kevin will agree with me on this too. Is you just can't say, okay, kid, now go get better and come back, because he doesn't know what you're talking about to
right.
get better, because he needs somebody with a vast more experience to make him better.
And again, I mean, the WWE still brings guys for not necessarily training camps, but just sort of a look-see, get in the ring and we'll, you know, put you through your paces and see what you can do. They don't charge any money for it, and a lot of times those guys will stick around and they may wind up putting them in a security guard uniform and they actually get a payday out of it.
Right.
So that's kind of cool. It's never been about taking money from guys. It's always, let's see who can make us money and go from there. I love Terry to death, and I'm sure that this was not his plan. Maybe it was his plan to, let's see if we can get some talent together down here in Orlando while we're all here, and we can look at them and see what's out there. And somebody probably said, well, let's see if we can make some money out of this deal too.
Right.
And now it's $250 a head to, you know, run the ropes and, you know, tackle drop down, and thanks for coming.
Wow. I think we said all we can about that one.
you think?
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you think about the two-hour time slot? I mean, what can TNA do with this time?
Well, just real quickly, if you can't paddle a canoe, you shouldn't be allowed to captain a battleship.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't manage 1 hour of time, so I don't see how them having 2 hours to play with is going to make them any better. They're going to keep up. My fear is they're going to keep up the frantic pace that they have for a 60-minute show and just spread it out over 2 hours and just, you know, give me epilepsy.
I seriously hope that is not what happens. I seriously hope.
Kevin, don't you think if put you in a situation? I know if given to me in this situation, what I would do with a vast majority of that extra hour is start building some identities to these people and giving them some depth of the character, opposed to just letting them get in the ring and take bumps.
And that's one of the best things that I learned from you, Les, was seeing how something as simple as a personality profile, you know, could allow the fans at home to identify with who they are, watching, cheering or booing. And it's one thing that one strength I think that UFC has right now is that they are investing time in interviewing the guys and letting them become personalities and letting them become familiar faces, not just bodies in an octagon, and we can't tell who is who.
Right.
The investment of TV time in non-action, it pays enormous dividends long after the fact. That's what makes stars. And if they don't adhere to that, I'll give it a chance. But my big fear is that they're going to mismanage this two-hour time as badly as they do the one-hour time. And the one thing I just ask is that they just please produce their announcers better. Whether it's 1 hour, 2 hours, or 3 hours, just produce the announcers a little bit better and tell them to shut up and just stop screaming and stating the obvious over and over and over again, because it ruins the show for me, and I'm sure that it doesn't help the viewers at home.
You think? Do you believe that's by design, too? Because I don't remember them doing that before they were in TNA.
No, Mike was best to me when he was the analyst right. and giving some historical facts and stuff, and doing it at a moderate pace. It's like you can take an opera singer and you can't let them sing hard rock, or you take a hard rock singer and you can't have them sing opera. A person is geared personality wise and vocal cord wise to do something, and you take them outside that, and they're just not comfortable with it.
And also the other side of that too is you can put a calm guy in Tenay with a screamer like Don West,
right?
And instead of having the dichotomy, what you wind up with is Tenay has to scream to keep up with Don West, but it also is partially the pace of the show and the matches. They have so much that they have to get into in a 3-minute match. It doesn't do the match justice. It doesn't do the commentary justice, and what you wind up with is an exercise in futility. The match in the ring means nothing because the action is secondary to what the announcers are being told they have to get in, and the announcing is so taken a back step to the fact that it's over before it begins with. The stories that they tell don't amount to anything. There's not enough time for the viewer to digest anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a good example of where they take things past the point or over the top too far, this Judas Macias, I see a lot of value in him. He's got a good look. He appears that he's a good worker. He's got size. I like everything he does, except when I see that red goo dripping out of his mouth and Don West is screaming, "Oh, look at the blood dripping out." It's like, oh, man. You know, then I need one of those Tomko cyber glances saying, "What the F are you?" ribbing me?
They scream the obvious.
Yes.
And they don't just state the obvious, Doc. They scream it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so insulting. I mean, Gordon Solie needed to scream only at the exact right moment. JR only needs to scream at the exact right moment, or when Vince screams in his ear, "Scream!" You know.
A commentator to... Yeah, a commentator to me is like building a match. You can't open if you open the show with World War III. Where do you go from there?
Right.
Where do you go from there?
And if he's walking to the ring, oh my God, he's taking a step. I mean, if that creates that kind of atmosphere for you, then there's nothing that you can't get any higher than that.
Mm-hmm.
You go back and one of the best moments in TNA that to me was totally ruined by the announcing was the first face-to-face confrontation with Kurt Angle and Samoa Joe. There didn't need to be a word of commentary, and yet these two guys completely screamed over the real emotion. And the real emotion was from the fans, because you didn't need to say a word. It was obvious. These two men are staring at each other. And then Kurt Angle headbutts him out of nowhere. Joe's bleeding over the eye, and these two guys go toe-to-toe until there's this hellacious pull-apart.
Right.
You don't need to say anything. It's just, let's sit back and watch this history-making moment. Done. One line. And you have just completely buttoned it up before anything happens.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, they screamed over it the entire time and ruined it. I was throwing stuff at the TV, and I use this as an example in all the camps that I do. Because when I go to these, you know, I do a lot of work with Bob's group, and I work with the announcers, because they all try to put their, you know, TV on, whether it's on the Internet or public access or whatever. I'll work with their announcers. Because, guys, listen, these guys and girls can go out here and can do a tremendous amount of good, and if you don't get it over, you've ruined it for them.
Right.
So it's very important that the announcers do their job right as well, and that's one thing. I may not have ever had the look that they were looking for, but I knew what I was doing. I knew what my job was when I got behind the microphone, because I was trained the right way.
Right.
And, you know, that's the one thing I will take to my grave, is that I know how to do that job very, very well. And when you see, like, time management, too, with TNA is so bad. They have Karen Angle last week. "You've requested this time," Jeremy Borash says. And she says whatever she says, and then they go to commercial. We come back from commercial, and now she's coming out to the ring. For all intents and purposes, to say the exact same thing that she said backstage. So we wasted a minute and 45 seconds, because I timed the whole segment, backstage to just... have her state the exact same thing, you know, 3 minutes later, mm-hmm. after commercials.
What he's telling you is instead of saying it just you come into the segment, Karen Angle's coming to the ring, she apparently has something to say.
Yeah.
She said, "I've asked for this time so I can apologize to Sting."
So thing. And that's really all that she needed to do instead of doing it twice. That time management is a big critical factor in whether a one-hour show is good or a two-hour show is good. Without time management, it's going to suck.
You know what I said, Kevin, at the top of the show? I was telling Doc, I said, you know, I wasn't sure what we were going to get with Karen Angle, but I like her because she's not over the top. She has a believable character.
Yes.
She is the conniving, scheming woman behind the man.
And she generates heat, which is what you want. She's doing a great job, and it builds layers to anytime you can take a match with two veteran guys and you know you're going to get a great match. If you can put more layers into it and more intrigue, it just can make the meal more satisfying. I had big reservations less when I first saw her on TV. I was like, oh my God, but she's got it. She's exactly right for this fit and for this story at this time in her life.
Right. Now, you were both speaking earlier about character development, and they need to take time so you can get to know and care about these characters. Do you think that the TNA specials that they have before the pay-per-views on Saturdays, sort of like the UFC-style shows, don't you think that kind of should help cover that base?
But it's got to be – here's the thing. If you don't need to give me a – if I'm already going to buy the pay-per-view, then what are you selling me? If I've tuned in for the pay-per-view, what are you selling
me? Well, no, these are the night before.
And they're great, and they're video packages, and they do a great job of hyping.
Why don't they put them on Thursdays instead of Saturday night? I don't watch Saturday night. That's a rerun to me.
And again, the Saturday night time slot, when they do those things, draws, you know, a half or a third of the rating that the Thursday night show does. So what's the point? Nobody's seeing it.
Right.
Put it on in prime time and utilize that tool. Now, you know, video editing can make anybody look great.
Mm-hmm.
It can cover up a lot of errors and flaws.
Yeah,
and,
you know, here's an example too, Doc. Kevin was just talking about the first confrontation of Kurt and Joe, okay? And nothing was needed to be said. Now, if they come back the next week without Don, and this is though I don't even know Don West, but I'm talking with Mike doing his analytical voice over on this segment, editing it down to make it last 2 or 3 minutes, and him explaining and selling what these guys, you know, I had a chance to talk to Kurt earlier, I had a chance to talk to blah, 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 blah. Now, there is where it becomes useful, not on Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
Now you've got your analyst, you're like your football analyst, right, like your Terry Bradshaw or whoever, giving the insights and making you more aware of what you should be aware of, because when I was doing play-by-play or color, or when Kevin or Mike, I don't give a damn who it is, Jimmy Cornette, Jim Ross, Gordon Solie, part of your job is to explain the product. We are to take, I don't mean this in a slanderous way, but we have to figure, you don't know what's going on here, and we are your eyes and we're the guide dog. We lead you to what we want you to see and how we want you to perceive it.
Mm-hmm.
And the analyst in wrestling is critical nowadays, I think, in terms of believability, because that's one of the issues, you know, where when these guys are doing something very real, you know, and it hurts for a lot of reasons, that analyst needs to be able to explain the hows and the whys and do it quickly and succinctly.
Right.
One of the things I think Taz does very well is this arm bar hurts you in a lot of ways because the pressure on the shoulder is enormous and whatever the statement is. But again, that believability factor. These guys are doing more, you know, less, no disrespect to you, but in your day, man, some of the stuff that I saw that the people believed and bought, you play that now in 2007 and everybody farts on it. But
well,
the guys
right.
are out there killing themselves in 2007 and people just yawn a lot of times. And
mm-hmm.
it's like, geez, you know, what do we got to do to get a reaction out of people? Well, what you need to do is to re-educate the fan base. And not throw away any of the in-ring action with meaningless sidebar, you know, oh, what about what we saw earlier on, when you only have a 3-minute match.
Right.
These guys are get in here and they're going to blast away at each other, folks, and we don't expect this one to go long, so hold on to your seats because here we go. Ring the bell, bum, bum, bum. Off to the races.
Wow. It's good stuff. I'm in here. I'm going to save the show and re-listen to this. But, Kevin, I want to thank you for being on the show. That's really good insight from you guys today.
We're going to send you a bill for this, too, Doc.
Yeah,
by the way, Doc, go ahead and make the check payable out to Les Thatcher and Associates. And
yeah.
I'm the ass part of the associate.
I'm just sitting back listening. This is good stuff, though. I appreciate it. Kevin, we'll see you again in a few weeks, sir.
Anytime, please, day or night.
All right. I'll call
Kevin,
you.
Always a pleasure, my friend. Take care of yourself.
Same here, Les. Thank you.
All right, Kevin. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Kevin Kelly, guys, from WWE here on Wrestling Weekly, formerly, of course. Les?
Yes?
We've got Rob Conway coming up in just a little bit here on the show.
Is there a pay-per-view this weekend?
No, there's not.
Why?
Can you believe that? There's no pay-per-view this weekend, and there wasn't one last week, so that's 2 weeks in a row.
Outside.
I think we still have Kevin on the line there.
Yeah.
We'll have to get him off there pretty soon. let's do this. I got another quick news for you guys here.
Okay.
I just want to quickly mention that TriStar Wrestling in Vermont is holding a charity show on October 26th
right.
at the Rutland Armory. That's in Rutland, Vermont.
Can I tell you something?
Yes.
Wrestled in Rutland, Vermont back in 1960 and 61.
Have you?
Yeah, I really did.
What, is it nice out there? I mean,
gosh, I don't really.
I expect scenery and mountains.
Vermont is, New Hampshire and Vermont are pretty. I mean, they really are.
All proceeds from the show, guys, are going to go to the Alexis Cross Foundation for PCD. For more information, you can visit myspace.com/TSWWrestling or alexiscrossfoundation.com. If you want to make a donation, you can't make it out to Vermont, of course. We are, Les, getting to that time. We're going to get Rob here on the show next week.
I mentioned it briefly earlier. But we are, and I'll have more details for you to post on the EPWT site and Les Thatcher site. And,
yes.
But anyway, yeah, November 9th and 10th, it's sponsored by High Spots. We're going to be in Newton, North Carolina, which is just a bit north of Charlotte. And Steamer's going to be with me on Friday the 9th. We'll start training at 10 a.m., excuse me. I believe you'll be able to make reservations for a spot. We're going to, I think, cut it limited to 40 athletes, and then we're going to do Saturday as well. And anyway, I'll have all the details and the contact information to put up on the site and to talk more about it next week.
But, excellent.
Yeah, Steamer, I'm always looking forward to work with Ricky. And I may have an announcement to make about the Arnold Schwarzenegger Classic and Fitness Expo in March as well.
Don't tell me you're entering, sir.
Well, not hardly. No, no, we may. I may be doing a training seminar, a 2-day at the Fitness Expo, and then also a show.
Okay.
Training there on Friday and Saturday, and it maybe with some illustrious guests, and it's something I'm working on. A friend of mine who done some seminars for up in the Northeast is involved in the expo, and he contacted me last week, and so we may be doing some of it. It's second to the Olympia in terms of professional bodybuilding competition, but the Fitness Expo, they run like a 250,000 people through there over a 3-day period. So it's a big deal. So
excellent.
Anyway, I want
speaking
to
of, you know, speaking of dates, I forgot to announce this last week, but I did some ring announcing at the Fort Branch Fall Festival in Fort Branch, Indiana last week. I don't know if you've ever done this or not, but because it was different. It was in the middle of this festival. But they put the ring on a baseball diamond.
We wrestled on baseball diamonds.
I've never done this before, and I've actually never worked an outdoor night show either, but I thought it was pretty cool. They put the ring right on the pitcher's mound. And everybody,
we used to always set the ring up at home plate.
Really?
Yeah.
Everybody
Columbus Clippers, which are the AAA Farms club for the New York Yankees, right?
Uh-huh.
Before I sold the company, we ran a show up there, which I had Ron Simmons and A-Train and Cena, and Lance Cade was still with me at the time. We had a show up there at the ballpark in front of about 5,000 people.
Wow. They had this, they set it up on the pitcher's mound, and they just had people come out and bring chairs and sit around in the infield, because Fort Branch is not that big a town. So it won 5,000 people, of course. But, and boy, them kids got rowdy. They kept trying to break, you know, to the ring. And
we used to wrestle at a ballpark in San Juan, Puerto Rico. But now was an outdoor. Manchester, New Hampshire. I remember wrestling in the ballpark there. Do you ever see the movie Bull Durham?
Yes.
Okay, I wrestled in that ballpark.
Okay.
For the Mid-Atlantic Jim Crockett Promotions.
Those are great sort of venues to use. I love that. Those are great, you know, kind of venues to use.
Oh, yeah, those, especially the older ballparks, you know, are more suited for wrestling, honestly, than say a big major league ballpark, you know.
Right.
But yeah, that's it's different, and it's we used to wrestle at the Bill Myers Stadium in Knoxville at the ballpark. We work outdoors at the amphitheater at Chilhowee Park. And then when they had the fair was in the 2 weeks that the fair was covered, the 2 weekends that the fair covered, we'd go out to Bill Myers Baseball Stadium and wrestle. So yeah, so I've done a lot of ballparks.
Those are pretty cool, but I just thought that was interesting. I had wondered if you'd ever done stuff like that because I've heard of it, but I never actually heard someone say, "Oh yeah, I wrestled in a baseball field."
Yeah, sure.
All right, we're gonna take a break, guys. Rob Conway. When we come back here on Wrestling Weekly, it's Doc Young and Les Thatcher. We'll be right back after this.
Wrestling Weekly will return to all the fun right after this.
What are you doing? You having fun?
I'm having a blast.
What triggers the attention of a pro wrestling fan? Is it the overall ability of the superstar? Is it the angles with a mixture of drama? What drives the fans wanting to learn more about this pastime? When it reaches a boiling point and you know you're hooked on the thrill, it's no longer considered just a passion. It's an obsession.
All aboard!
Your favorite all-in-one online wrestling site has changed. That's right, wrestling fans. If you are obsessed with everything wrestling, check out the same site with the new name, Online World of Wrestling. As crazy as it may sound, the same content you have come to know, expect, and rely on is still there on every single page of the site under a new name. If you're looking for the most comprehensive information on the entire world of wrestling, then head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Online World of Wrestling still supplies you with all the news and information, plus galleries and bios of your favorite all-time wrestlers. Climb aboard as we head on over to onlineworldofwrestling.com. New packaging, same great flavor.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes. Today, we salute you, Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
While lesser designers would shy away from putting 300-pound men in spandex, you embrace it.
Yes, you do.
Pushing fashion to its limits, literally, you pair tights with a cape, a leotard with a mask, leather boots with a thong. All understated ways of saying, I'm going to rip your head off and look fabulous doing it. So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Guy. Because without you, a man crushing another man's head in his arms would just look silly.
Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Design.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
News and information on total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com. Log on right now and get your fix of all things TNA Wrestling. Event photos, streaming video, and all of the backstage gossip. It's
just one click away.
Plus, right now, you can find special savings in our merchandise area with a complete line of DVDs featuring Nevermore, The Best of Raven, Enigma, The Best of Jeff Hardy, and Phenomenal, The Best of AJ Styles. Plus, all of our monthly pay-per-view events on DVD as well. And don't forget to check out photos of our lovely ladies in the knockout section. It's your online home for total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com.
The irresistible Doc Young.
Booyah!
The legendary Les Thatcher.
Brilliant!
The award-winning show taking the internet by storm. Wrestling Weekly.
Oh, great Odin's Raven.
Every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 1 a.m. GMT. On WrestlingWeekly.com and WrestlingRadioNetwork.com.
Yo, check out the new hot wrestling shop called Mad Maniacs. With a large inventory of shirts, replica belts, and action figures you can obtain and need for wrestling merchandise. Remember that we get fresh stock weekly, so don't forget to check it out. Also, with items coming in faster than Toys R Us and Walmart, you should never become disappointed. Plus half the price on WWE.com. Remember, that's www.madmaniacs.com.
Wrestling-radio.com for the latest news in professional wrestling, watching of videos, and promoting your own independent wrestling organization or radio show the way that you want it done. Log on to wrestling-radio.com. Sign up today and get weekly archiving of your shows. Advertise your show on the main website. And also listen to other great wrestling radio shows such as The Squared Circle, The Minority Report, Evan's Legends, and many more. And you could be the next one. Log on today at wrestling-radio.com and begin promoting your wrestling organization or radio show the way that you want it done. We promise you, you won't be disappointed. Wrestling-radio.com, the internet's leader in wrestling radio promotion.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back with you at Wrestling Weekly. On the line right now is our featured guest for this evening. He's a former WWE superstar. Just look at him. It's Rob Conway. Rob, I want to thank you for being on the show.
Appreciate you guys having me. I knew him before when he was an OVW superstar.
Yes, he was a big OVW superstar.
Since he was actually, I guess, in his infancy as a professional wrestler.
As a matter of fact, Les is the first one that I ever actually got paid to wrestle for.
I spoiled you, right?
You most certainly did.
One thing I know for sure, Doc, that he learned the business properly. From the ground up. That's, you know, something, Rob, that I know we have some independent guys that listen to the show, and I probably pound on this more than I should. But I know you, out working the indies and stuff, Danny trained you right, Rip, whoever, you know, got a chance to work with you. And I know you must go out and find with some of these guys, it's like you're in a foreign country, for God's sakes. And explain to tell Doc just how important it is to get a good foundation on you of the actual business before you go out and try and do all the crazy.
Man, you said a mouthful right there. Yeah, the way we were brought into the business was not to do anything that you saw on TV. That's pretty much what we were told from the get-go, which is hard to do because that's what you want to get to is where you can be on TV, you know, make money and be a big star. But before you do that, you have to learn to crawl before you walk, and that's the thing is a lot of guys, the first thing they want to do is learn how to do a moonsault and do a plancha, but then you watch their match and they lock up, and the lockup is so pathetic that you lose interest before they get to any high-flying moves.
You guys, that was quite a crew. You and Nick and Doug and Danny all came out of that first batch of OVW wrestlers, and I mean, honestly, I'm surprised, and I made this statement when you got released. I said, you must remember when I had the contract, and they were sending, like, Val was in here with me and D'Lo and Incredible and Dreamer and stuff. I said they should have put you guys in if they didn't have anything for you up at the, on the big roster, is let you work with these guys in the developmental and bring them along.
You know, I was surprised when I got that call, too, because one thing that we'd always been preached to us from the get-go is if you can work, you know, if you're a guy who can go out and have a good match with anybody, then you always would have a job. So, you know, that surprised me whenever I got a call that Creative didn't have anything for me. My thought was, well, then fire Creative, because how creative
right.
do you have to be?
I've thought you know, that before myself.
How creative do you have to be to put a guy that has a good physique and he's in his prime and he can work with anybody to have a spot for him on television? So, you know, I can wrestle, so I didn't tell them, hey, you know, I've got nothing for you as far as wrestling goes, but they didn't have anything for me as far as creative went. So my thinking would be as well, maybe if you keep getting these people that don't have anything for them creatively, then maybe you need to look at your creative team and see what's going on there.
Man, I agree with you 100%.
That's a good point. And it seems like all those guys that you came up with in OVW, Damage, Doug Basham, Nick Dinsmore, they're all gone now.
Yeah, but the you know, looking at those guys, you know, Nick Dinsmore becoming Eugene, I think, was a fantastic idea, which he came up with. But Damage and Doug Basham, I think, from the time that they were brought up to that level, they were misused. They never got to talk.
Right.
They were either the sidekicks of Shaniqua and then later became with JBL, where they were secondary characters. And I still think that, you know, their careers, they could come back to WWE and be fresh because nobody really got to know who they really are and what they could really do.
I agree with you.
Yeah,
I
would you agree that, and you know, it's been said before that to put you under a mask or a helmet or anything like that is kind of like death to your career and your character. Would you agree with that?
A mask or a helmet or something. Well, I mean, obviously, you know, Kane on his third go around, but had a mask on and mm-hmm. became a big time superstar. So
that's true.
I think what the main thing about having a mask or something like that, you have to embrace it. I mean, it can't be somebody else's idea. You have to really, and that'd be anything, a Eugene character. If you put that on just about anybody else, it's going to flop. But because he believed in it and knew how to embrace it, you know, that happens a lot of times. Sometimes they'll give someone something almost as a punishment. They'll embrace it, and they'll run with it. And when it starts to get over, then it's almost like they squash it, like, oh, we didn't want this to get over. This was supposed to be a punishment. But I think anything that you do, if you believe in it, then people will believe in you because they know that your heart's in it.
Don't you think, Rob, we're making jokes about creative, but seriously, I don't think they try to match a character with the person they're giving the character to, and I think that's the whole key, is you feeling comfortable in your own skin and comfortable with the part you're trying to play. I mean, if you don't, then you can't sell it to anybody else.
Yeah, and, you know, to defend them, they have a lot of guys. You know, there's about 30 guys on each roster, whether it be SmackDown or Raw, and there's basically about three or four people in creative. So people kind of slip through the cracks. You got your main core guys that are on TV, that are on pay-per-views. A lot of it has to do with how much money they make. The more money you're guaranteed, the more you have to put them on TV, because if they sit at home, they're costing you more money.
Right.
So there's a business aspect to that, and I understand it completely. But when it comes to giving someone a character or some direction, I think it'd be better if they took a little bit of input. For instance, my character being a cocky, you know, dare I say, good-looking ladies type of guy that I was portrayed in OVW and then later tried to recreate as the con man, those writers, you know, they can't write for me because they've never been a good-looking, cocky, well-built guy. For the most part, that's why they're writers and they're not wrestlers.
Exactly.
So it's hard
true.
For them to tell me how to be, you know, an arrogant performer, even though they're the ones putting the words in my mouth, and it's a lot harder for me to go out there and read them than it would be for me just to wing it.
So did they give you scripts that you had to memorize, like word for word type thing, or were there just bullet points or that you
in
wanted
OVW,
to hit?
In OVW, when Jim Cornette was, we just had bullet points, and it made you excel. I mean, people used to tell me all the time, oh, I loved your Iron Man character, and I was like, that wasn't a character. That was just, that was me being me.
Mm-hmm.
In the WWE, obviously, I'm not French.
Right.
I'm not really an anti-American, so everything that I said, there were even times where I had to ask them what some of the words meant, because I, you know, for the most part, I don't use the word warmonger on a regular basis, and I usually don't degrade or badmouth the President of the United States,
right.
Nor would I recommend that to anybody else if you're not doing that on television. So for the most part, everything that I said on TV was written for me, and if I didn't say exactly what they wanted me to say, it was by accident.
Mm-hmm.
And it probably came off that way. I mean, you know, we're not trained actors. We're athletes that got into wrestling because we wanted to be the next Dusty Rhodes or be the next superstar Billy Graham or Jerry Lawler or Hulk Hogan. And then for the most, now they don't want that. They want more conversation as far as your promo time than a wrestling promo, which we grew up and we like. For the something I was, not to get off the subject, but if you look at most of the guys that are on television now, you can't even do an impersonation of them because there's nothing to impersonate. Everybody can do the Macho Man Randy Savage or mm-hmm. or Hulk Hogan, but 90% of the guys, if I said do an impersonation or give me a catchphrase or something about them, you wouldn't be able to do it.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was mentioned earlier in the show, we were talking, Rob, Morelli. I said there's just nothing, there's nothing there. He's not a stud. He's not, you know.
Santino.
He may be a great MMA fighter, but he's not trying to sell that, but they're trying to make him into something, and he's not.
Yeah, I mean, he's in a tough spot. They brought him out, and his first match, he won the Intercontinental Championship. Which, coming from a guy that's been wrestling for 10 years and had been under a contract for 7 years, I mean, that was my goal. I mean, I wanted to be the Intercontinental Champion.
Right.
And there's a lot of other guys that's their goal. I mean, that's the prelude to being a main eventer. And for him to get it his first night in, it really set him up for a lot of people to be a little jealous and to really maybe want him to fail, I think. And then he did the best he could with that. And I think now that he's turning to the heel side, he's getting a little bit more recognition, but you know, it's really a little bit of lack of direction, and you know, I wish him the best.
Now, when you were in OVW, was that under a developmental contract?
Not originally. I was
okay.
There for my first maybe 750 matches were I call them amateur. People ask me if I have an amateur background. I say, yeah, I wrestled as a professional wrestler for 3 or 4 years before I made any money.
Right.
But I mean, you had to work your way. It was a lot harder to get a developmental contract. It was a new thing, and for the most part, you had to work your way into it or be a real stud athlete in some other sport that was a can't-miss prospect. And, you know, I was definitely one of those guys that worked my way into it over a period of years and then got a developmental contract and then took me another maybe 4 years to get to the active roster.
Were you happy with the original gimmick that they gave you when you came into WWE and debuted on television regularly?
With the anti-American?
Yes.
My gosh, I loved every second of it. I mean, when the music would play and mm-hmm. we would come out, it was almost felt as if when you open the oven and you feel the heat coming out at you,
mm-hmm.
that's the way it felt. I mean, every time I was booed or yelled at or you heard the people chant, I mean, for the most part, people are not that patriotic on a regular basis, but when we would come out, wow, we'd bring the patriotism out of every American. I mean, they would be chanting USA. It was really cool to know that we could get them that riled up and that, didn't matter who we went against, they were going to get one of the biggest reactions of the night,
mm-hmm.
you know, because we had so much heat.
Didn't I read somewhere where you and Sylvain are trying to are taking bookings as a team again now?
Yeah, Sylvain's handling that. It's resistancewwe@hotmail.com. That's the best he could come up with. But he's so used to being with the WWE that he even has it in our
email address now.
But he's
let me ask
that.
You a question. I read somewhere World Allied Sports, a guy, Steve Mills, out of London. Are you supposed to be part of that?
I've talked to them a couple times, but it's not something that I've agreed to because the dates have changed a few times. And I'm learning now that I'm really on the independent scene full time for the first time, that until the deposit is sent, then there's really no booking that you can count on.
Ain't that the truth? Well, because I had heard that they were so. I was going to ask you about that because weren't they supposed to do a taping or something on the 22nd of this month? And obviously they didn't.
Yeah, I think originally it was earlier in the month, and then I got an email saying, hey, we can't do it that night because that's the night that they have high school football in Texas, and nobody will come to the event because they'll be at the football game. And I thought to myself, if I was a promoter, I would have probably looked at that long before I tried to book an arena full of talent.
All right.
But like I said, I'm not a part of that I know of. But
right.
I've been a part of a lot of things that I don't know of.
he's been on three shows in one night before.
I heard that.
A Taker fan in our live chat room at WrestlingWeekly.com. He says, question for Rob. Have you spoke to Rene Dupree since his release?
I spoke to him the day that he got released. It was actually before that the word got out on WWE.com. He called me and just let me know that he told me that he had asked for his release, that they had been flip-flopping him between OVW and Florida, and he was on his downside, so he wasn't making that much money, and he thought he could do better and not have to travel. You know, when you're going back and forth, you have to pay for your own travel. So he just decided, his young guy, he saved up a lot of money, his family's fairly well off, and then he was going to try it on his own. So that's... And as far as I know, the next thing I know, he worked for Booker T's promotion and then went to Japan. So I look for him to do, you know, a lot of good things in the business. He's still such a young guy.
Yeah. Rhode Island Red says, why did WWE split up La Resistance? And how did you and the other members feel about that?
Well, they moved Rene to SmackDown. He had always wanted to be a singles competitor. So when Sylvain had been out with a broken neck, and when he came back at WrestleMania 20, he was backstage. They weren't going to use him for that, so we reappeared the next night. And then they had the draft. Rene went to SmackDown. Me and Sylvain teamed up, which was great. I mean, we get along fantastic. But then they brought in Muhammad Hussain. And Muhammad Hussain, they really wanted to give him that major. They wanted him to be a main event guy, and he's a fantastic person. But it was a big spot for a guy to come in new, who's actually Italian, to come in and be an Arab,
right,
and have that kind of mystique. And what had happened was, is we were, you know, we still had tons of heat. And when we'd come out second, third, fourth match, and people would be chanting USA, and we'd have a really good tag match, you know. And then he would come out later and not get the same reaction because you can only USA yourself so much. So they really wanted all the anti-American heat to go toward him. And that's why they split us up, is because they didn't want to have more than one anti-American group with him and Daivari and me and Sylvain on the same show.
Right. Makes sense. So they put you with this the con man character. How was that for you?
Well, it could have been fantastic. I came up with the idea. I mean, that was me being the Iron Man from OVW.
Right.
And I talked to Vince about it. I went, me and one of the creative staff, pretty much, I told them all my ideas, and they liked them. And then as I started, it's almost like it was half done. You know, if it had been done, like anything else, if it had been done so I could put my heart into it, man, we could have, you know, it was starting to get over anyway. I was actually starting to get a baby face reaction. I'd come to the buildings and people would have signs up that said, do it the con way.
Right.
You know, because nobody, you know, once Chris Jericho wasn't there and The Rock's not there and Stone Cold, I mean, for the most part, nobody has any catchphrases. Armando was getting his name over because people just want to participate. So it started out, you know, it was really starting to roll. I was beating the undercard baby faces. I was working my way up to mid-card baby faces. And then one of the creative staff who had been out doing something else, he was one of the leaders. He came back to the fold, and that wasn't his idea, and he wasn't in on coming up with it at all. So once he came back, then it was de-pushed, and then I really never got much of an opportunity to do anything except be on Heat, and that was seen on the internet. And that even with the Legends, I remember I wrestled Greg Valentine. They decided they were going to put me with Legends, but it was on Sunday Night Heat. So for the most part, if you're not watching it on the internet, which the casual WWE fan doesn't go and watch that show, then my storyline would go from week to week off and then come back for another week. And for the most part, nobody knew that I wrestled Greg Valentine or I wrestled Coco Beware because it was on their internet site. I remember Greg Valentine going, "So when's this going to be on the air?" And I remember kind of covering my mouth as I was like, "Well, it's not really going to be on TV." You know, I didn't want to tell him, "Hey, you know, you haven't been in a WWE ring in like 14 years, and you're coming back and making your big debut, and for the most part, the live crowd's going to see it, and then, you know, some not that many people after that." So
right, and you had a match with Coco Beware around that time too.
Yeah, I believe the very next week, and you know, as much as I don't feel like it gave myself and the Con Man / Iron Man character its due, it certainly didn't give those guys their due by bringing them all the way back to not put them on live TV.
Yeah. Did you come up with the outfit for the Con Man by yourself, or was that part of creative?
No, creative for the most part doesn't have a lot of input on anything other than telling you. Usually if it's unique and different and anything that stands out, then you did it on your own. The outfit, I stole a little bit from Brutus Beefcake as far as the see-through stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought, you know, if when I switched from being French or French sympathizer to going on my own, I just wanted to be so different than what I was before that people might be like, "Wow, who is this guy and where has he been?" And that was the idea behind the outfit, is just to get it, like, talked about.
Right.
Most people come out, and you don't pay attention to what they're wearing. Which would be fine if that's your debut. But when you're trying to recreate something, it's like, I really want to do something off the wall that gets a buzz. So that's where I came up with that.
How great was the Con Man music, the entrance theme? Who did that? That was awesome.
The music itself to listen to, it's a lot of fun. When you listen to the words, you think, "Wow, I can't believe that somebody wrote this song just for me."
Right.
But to actually, if you go to a live event and you're at Raw, and it's such an awesome event, and you're so into it, then that music hits, it immediately sucks the life out of the people.
It does.
You know, it's not an entrance. I mean, yeah, it's a cute little tune, and maybe, but not an entrance music. It's really, you know, it's almost turn the channel music compared to you give that same music to Triple H, and he's not what he is now.
Right. You think it's kind of just slow.
It's just slow. The words are kind of catchy and stuff,
right.
But for the most part, that doesn't say, "Hey, man, this guy's coming out meaning business, and he's going to take the Intercontinental Championship from Ric Flair tonight."
This is true.
You know, it's...
It doesn't help
when
you
I heard it the first time, I was in the gorilla position, and it was playing, and I was just standing there, and finally Gerald Briscoe said, "Hey, that's your music." And I was like, "What?" He's like, "Go." I thought that, I mean, because sometimes you're up there and you think it's your turn to go, and they got five more minutes. I thought it was Kerwin White's music because it's really similar. They brought our characters out around the same time, and his music was kind of like a lounge singer music, and then so was mine. I thought, "Wow, this, you know, it'd be creative if I was the only one who had it, but you got two guys in a row." Needless to say, you know, I could be in the back getting pumped up and everything, and as soon as I walked out, I was just like, "Oh, man. I wish I could have been listening to an iPod of, you know, somebody else's music on the way to the ring."
That actually, though, a lot of the wrestling fans say that was one of their favorite themes, though. And this is my hand to God. They thought it was catchy. And
a lot
I've seen
of people like the music.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of songs that I enjoy, too. But if you were in the gym and you put 300 pounds on the bench and you wouldn't want to listen to Celine Dion. It's
right,
not going
right.
to get you pumped up. You might like her music. She sells out in Vegas every night, but, you know, it's not that they probably didn't like it that much when they were in the arena.
Right. Mr. Bucket in the chat room says, Rob, who was one wrestler that you just love to work with more than anyone based on talent and chemistry in the ring?
Eugene, by far.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I've probably wrestled Nick Densmore / Eugene at least 500 or 600 times.
Wow.
I would say at least. And we were a tag team for about 4 years.
When I first met these guys, you could barely tell them apart. They were both had the same, I mean, they looked that much alike. They really did.
Yep. I mean, people thought we were brothers or cousins or something. It was just...
Going back to Eugene, he did the imitation of the special person. He did that so well that I think that's kind of what caused a lot of animosity about that it being tasteless, is that he was so... What am I looking for, Les? He was so good at it. You know what I mean?
He made it believable. Like it was natural.
Yes. And... I kind of think that was, you know, sparked part of the controversy is that he was so believable as that character.
But on the other hand, if you watch his matches, he might have supposedly been special, and that's the word we always used.
Mm-hmm.
But he really never got outsmarted.
No.
Until he was, when he first started, I mean, he beat Kane and, you know, in the main event on Raw, he was in a cage match with Hunter.
Right.
I mean, it's not like they just had him getting beat up and outsmarted. I mean, he beat me in his first match. So, I mean, he was a guy who he was saying that when it came to wrestling, he was a genius. And that's what he did. So, I mean, I thought he did a great job at it. But if you look, you know, it's not like he ever was taken advantage of, other than ultimately he usually came out on top. And that I thought the underlying message there was that if you put your mind to it and you work hard, that anybody can do anything. And for people to be controversial, I think he always came out on top, and he always had a good time, and he was just there to have fun, and people loved him.
So, Rob, what are you doing these days?
Well, I got quite a few things going on. Right now, I'm still primarily wrestling on the independent circuit. Soon as I got released, I got with a group called the NWA Pro. And now that NWA is not affiliated with any other organizations, they're really trying to revamp themselves and be what they once were.
Mm-hmm.
So I've wrestled numerous times for them now in front of actually... three different crowds were over 3,000 people, and for a non-WWE event, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it is.
Where were those matches at, Rob?
McGowan, Texas, Houston, Texas, and Las Vegas.
All right. Oh, okay. Vegas Marquez, right?
Yes, Dave Marquez.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was talking to he and Trowbridge. I did the NWA Legends thing in Charlotte in August, and they were telling me about how they're trying to revamp the NWA and everything.
It's been great. They have a lot of Lucha Libre wrestlers on their show, and they put them in real feature matches, so that's getting a lot of Hispanic community out at the shows. So right now, for me, the goal is, if you're not with the World Wrestling Entertainment, you're not with TNA, I mean, the ultimate goal for any independent wrestler, I would think, is to be the NWA World Heavyweight Champion. So that's really... That was my goal as a child, and now that I'm an adult and I've been doing this for 10 years, that's my goal now, is to get an opportunity to be the World Heavyweight Champion.
Excellent. And you're taking bookings now?
Yes, I'm taking bookings, and my email address for that is doittheconway@aol.com, or I can be reached at myspace@therobconway.
myspace.com/therobconway.
Yes.
Excellent. Rob, I want to thank you for being on. It's been a great interview.
I appreciate it, man. You guys are great, and hopefully I can come back and we can, you know, get more time talking to Les and talking to you. It's been a pleasure.
Absolutely. Anytime,
Rob, good luck to you. If you get up Cincinnati way, give me a shout, and let's do lunch or something.
Will do. Thank you very much.
All right, brother.
Rob Conway, guys, here on Wrestling Weekly. It's going to wrap things up for this week, Les. We've got another former WWE superstar going to be here next week.
Oh, yeah? Who?
Yes. Gangrel is going to be with us.
All right,
yes.
Cool.
It's going to be a good show. Check us out at WrestlingWeekly.com, guys, every day for all your news. And we're going to have the October schedule up pretty soon.
All right. And then I should have more information on the training seminar next week, and we'll look forward to it.
All right, guys. We will see you next week. Have a good one.
Mic check. I'm telling you, dog. Mic check. We in here now. Yeah, whoa, steady. I'm fly. And everybody knows that I'm kicked up fresh. Kick back with my kicks. I kick it with my peeps. Kick, push, roll. I kick it in the streets. Let me kick a few bars, cause I'm nice and fresh. My kick game hard, twist Nike checks. Address to the ladies, I'm impressed with a dress. Impressing the best, cause I'm dressed to impress. Never pressed to